SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Let's get it started. Hour number two right here on Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh, SiriusXM channel 159. And we might as well go to Major League Baseball and game number two. But before we do that, guessing where JP is going tonight in the NBA, which included a parlay with a side and also a player tonight here. All right. So, did you say it was points that he was going with? All right, player points tonight. I know where he's going. You know where he's going?
I thought I did immediately, and then there was a second.
The name. Boom.
There was a second option that pulled me away. So here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
Because I have a second option. I think your guess might be what I was initially thinking.
Tyrese Maxey over 18.5 and the Sixers plus 3.
So that's what I thought it would be as well. Because Tyrese is a guy people are pumped about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But then I saw a prop that was so up JP's alley.
Mm.
I had to give it a shot. Because you have to remember, you know, he's not doing any player performance doubles, right? And we know JP scours the board for all kinds of options, right?
Yes.
There's probably a Maxey 20-plus Sixers win that he could have got and been excited about. But you know there probably wasn't, Donnie? Anything involving the over 4.5 for P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker over 4.5, Sixers plus the 3 is my guess.
All right, I like those guesses. I'm actually going to the Lakers game, though.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Oh,
the radar's broken.
Oh, no.
Spent all that time looking at the Sixers game.
Oh, we're not even worthy to make a guess. We completely, Donnie, narrowed it down. He narrowed it down to us. He's like, it could only be one of two. And we're both like, well, obviously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Going to that game.
Oh, that was tough. All right, JP, it's all you.
Yep, taking the Lakers with the points, and then I'm going to take Anthony Davis over 23.5 tonight.
Whoa!
The AD game. How about that?
How about that? Well, I had a caller, the X-Man, already on board with AD. Maybe we should have known that. We should have known the tipping point where he's clairvoyant.
Is JP the X-Man? Is that what, is that what we're starting to pick up?
Is he giving the X-Man his plays and telling the X-Man to call in and relay it? Could that be happening?
So that way you write him down? And actually we'll remember JP's plays?
Could be happening here. By the way, I want to spend time on this Lakers thing, but Draymond Green 6.5 just makes me laugh and ponder at the same time.
Yeah, hold on. Let's see how juicy this is. Oh, is it not up?
What?
Where's the bets on him to hit like a 3 at like plus 104 and then like him to hit 2 at like 1,000 to 1?
Yeah, let me see.
Where is that at? It's not
It looks like it's only Poole, LeBron James, and Wiggins there. What about DraftKings? DraftKings have that up? It's got to have one, right?
So I don't know about you. I don't have anything locked in tonight in Lakers-Warriors. I thought it would be a waste of respectfully, I thought it would be mostly a waste of my time.
Yeah.
There's nowhere near enough up right now, especially with the Westbrook situation. Do you know what I'm saying? Until that gets sorted out, because you and I were seeing that similar this morning, I want Russ to get benched and then be listed at, 14.5 points or something like that.
Like live, or you mean just like to start the game?
Start the game on the bench. Yeah, no, you're right. I said that wrong. I want him to start the game on the bench.
Yeah, it's the live, which again, I'm not going to be up betting live, but the NBA live market is sensational. Oh, yeah. It's so much better. It's better than any other market. Like, NFL's got a couple guys up, but just that fact, like Max Strus, right? Ooh, I think he's going to make 3 threes. Didn't make one in the first quarter. And I said, now it's time to fire away and take that here. By the way, getting back to what we saw so much of last year, Steph Curry, 5+ made threes plus 116. That's it. He's got to drop 5. Basically, at an even money number. 4 of them, 4, minus 210. 3, which is a great game for most NBA players. That's minus 650.
It's crazy, man. It's just a totally different sport, right?
Like, you when can't put him in any. Numbers. Hey, three-point no. player parlay for that Golden State. Yeah, anchor guy, Steph. What, at five? Oh,
yeah. It's not worth it. It doesn't move the juice enough at all. Are you going to do, again, you can't even do it in Warriors Lakers. Are you going to do
oh.
a three-point player prop?
Oh, no. Wait, hold on. Let me read this.
No.
Yeah, do you know what you're saying?
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. See that? Because I hit refresh, and everybody's like, what are they talking about? Let me just play it out for you guys. I hit refresh and saw 3x2 and was wondering why the line was so long. And I said, all right, 2 plus 3, which is, again, the 3x2 is 2 3-point shots or more made in the first 3 minutes of an NBA game. Cashes that ticket. They did give you one, but they included both Sixers, Celtics, and Warriors, Lakers in there. Plus 400's a nice price. I need that broken up. You can't get both of them. What are we talking about? Plus 200 each one? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And by the way, the 4-1 is not good enough odds for that either. I don't care that these two teams can launch threes. That's got to be like plus 650. I'm sorry. It does.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not giving us what we like. This went from everybody get involved and have fun to... we might be trying to make a little bit of money off the good people out here. And I can't have that. We're going to talk Phillies Padres coming up next right here after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Phillies, you know they were fine first class, K-Dub, from Philadelphia after beating the Atlanta Braves. Out of the West Coast now is the 5-seeded Padres host, the 6-seeded Philadelphia Phillies today. 9:51, 9:52 on the rotation, 8 o'clock first pitch tonight. If you want to get technical, it's 8:03. How about that? Minus 120 Ooh. Opening number here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, now currently sitting at a minus 118, 7 here. At the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 105 up from 6.5 at minus 120. Zach Wheeler on the mound, Yu Darvish on the mound. Two guys that can deal in a pitcher's ballpark. Probably a lower scoring affair, but I got to tell you, sticking to my guns this morning, I do think the Phillies have a legitimate chance to win this game. Obviously, they're plus 100. They're not plus 175 saying it's a hope and a prayer. I think Wheeler will dominate. But I do think the Phillies need to have the lead at the end of five innings, which I think they will have. I'm going to take the Phillies money line first five innings just because, and it's not to say, the Phillies got a little bit of a bump today in their bullpen. Robertson is back, who missed the last round against Atlanta, celebrating a Bryce Harper home run in the first round, which sounds ridiculous, but that's what happens. You strain a calf doing that. So now he's going to be back, bolster up that bullpen a little bit, but I don't want to leave it up to bullpen versus bullpen. If Wheeler's going to be on it, he's going to do very well with the first five. And if the Phillies can't score one run or two runs off of Darvish, they're probably not winning this game.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating matchup overall because I feel like when you describe these teams, it doesn't sound like a pair of Cinderellas, right? Like, really, no. really dangerous bats in the lineup and some ace-level pitching in your top two with guys you trust as your third man as well with some decent bullpen pieces. But like, they sound like World Series-caliber baseball teams to me. So that's kind of been one of the things that I've been adjusting a bit. I feel like when I look at this here, this is not all right, one of them's a Cinderella, but who's more of a Cinderella? No, like that's the thing, is the National League, I mean, I think for this was true, I think for really a lot of these teams here that made the, like, there was a lot of good teams in baseball this year, Donnie, but the National League was just deep. And I think it's part of the reason why, similar to the American League, at times we looked at the NL Central, right? We're like, the Cardinals just don't have that pitching. They are a bit vulnerable, right? It's why you said you were hoping to play the Cardinals instead of the New York Mets. So I matched these teams up here. Again, they're pretty similar. I think the advantage for the Padres, one, home field, you know I value that. And two, I do think their pitching is just a bit deeper. I think it extends a bit longer. So overall for the series, I do think the San Diego Padres win, which probably means here tonight I think they get the job done. I think Yu Darvish has been everything really this team could hope for in the postseason up until this point. Two starts, the great performance against the Mets, good enough against the Dodgers. I lean towards the Padres, but I do think these are mostly even baseball teams.
Yeah, and these two teams are coming in as the 5 and 6 seed. There's no little engine that could on either one of these ball clubs. They both have $300 million, you know, contracts to superstar players. We looked at the Padres finally stepping up over the past couple years and adding to their payroll in a big way, and the Philadelphia Phillies have always done that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've told you this many times. You know, I think I largely dislike Yankee fans, because the Yankees have been sold this idea, or were, I should say, now at this point. They were sold, Donnie, an idea of, hey, let us clean up the books. It's going to be a young roster. Yeah. We're not going to be competing the way you're used to. But when the big names hit the market, we're going to go out there and we're going to attack these guys. Manny Machado was someone that Yankees fans had lined up for years, and they let him go to San Diego. And then Bryce Harper for so long, right, Donnie? Was a
prototype Yankee player.
Correct. 74 home runs at Yankee Stadium, short porch, right? Well, he ends up in Philadelphia. And I have, as recent as this season, heard people say that the Manny Machados and the Bryce Harpers are not championship players. You people are lost. They are absolutely especially Bryce Harper, by the way. Bryce Harper is everything you want in terms of being the face of your franchise. You can speak to that better than I can. But even just from an outside's view, that's clear as day. But so is Manny Machado. Oh, boo-hoo. He didn't run it out when he was with the Dodgers. Get over it, Bob Costas. Nobody cares, okay? That dude shows up every year, bats 300 with pop, unreal fielding, and backs his guys up. And if you think that doesn't matter, you just haven't played sports. I'm sorry to say, but you don't, or you haven't. Because it's clear, that whole Joe Musgrove thing, right? Like, you would have thought, like, oh man, poor Joe Musgrove, he's on an island right now. And Manny Machado was the one getting into arguments with everybody all of a sudden on the New York Mets, because he backs his guys. So I'm actually going to be happy for whichever one of these teams advances, because both of those guys deserve it. People said that Bryce went to Philly to die and that Manny went to San Diego to die, and one of them is going to be playing World Series baseball in about a week's time.
Yep. This LeBron James went to L.A. to advance his movie career and ride off into
Idiots.
The sunset.
I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. Idiots won a title. Second year, won a championship. Mm-hmm. Fools said that, and they meant it. And they thought they were vindicated, year number one. I hope they deleted those tweets since. Buffoons. Ah, now I'm angry. This is what happens when the NBA gets back. I start to get a little surly.
And by the way, talking about being surly, I love it. How about this? A beat reporter here. I believe this guy is from the Miami Herald. The NFL gives Amazon a 3 p.m. football game on Friday after Thanksgiving, beginning next season.
I'm actually pretty disappointed. I was positive, because obviously, if you see the tweet that Donnie's referencing, it does not say 2023, though, Donnie, until it's the very last word.
If
I really thought, 100%.
We're going to move a game in there and make it happen.
Yeah, this partnership is working so well, we have decided that... You know, whoever it is, the Bengals, Browns are going to play that Friday. A month notice for those fans to adjust their arrival times. We're so excited about this partnership.
And by the way, I'm writing a little crafty tweet right now. Amazon's website will crash on that day from shopping and watching. Right?
I think they're. I would hope that they are prepared for that. No, Amazon.
I mean, my goodness, right? An extra, 10 million people hitting on the top of the shopping that you want to do online on Black Friday?
Oh, my
Holy
goodness.
Moly. That's interesting. Now, by the way, stepping back from that,
Yeah.
God love the NFL. And the players are a part of this as well. Because as much as they might say, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, this is more money in the pot for contract negotiations, and they like this. If you ask NFL players right now, hey, Lane Johnson, just using any random player, we want to have Tuesday night football. I'm not doing that. Well, instead of making $11 million this year, you could bump that up to $12.5 million. I love Tuesday night football. Like, that's, you know, you guys are looking out for us. Like, that's the type of vibe. For me, I love football, but I don't necessarily love this type of stuff. Now, granted, I'm going to watch. I'm going to enjoy it. I don't care that it's on Amazon, even though it's 5 minutes behind what the live feed would actually be in the stadium. I get that, and more football is usually good. But I'm at the point now where I just would like to let college football have its day Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and the NFL just get back to business where I know I'm getting the best performances. Because why? Rest is so important in the NFL to give these guys at least that full 6 to 7 days. I'm not a hater on this. I don't mind it. More football is usually better. But if we're just going to get, hey, it's randomness and, Friday after, first of all, was there a need for this? What was the need other than a money grab?
Okay.
Right?
As someone that is very angry that the NFL wants a piece of Christmas, do they have to keep bullying people off their days, though? Just taking control over everything?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a big college football day.
It is. Just let it. And also, you have 3 games on Thanksgiving. It's not as if you're not even showing up on Thursday. Come on back with us. It's Moneyline. More to go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You don't even know me. Could we hear this? Are we going to hear this tonight, K-Dub, by the way, on a Tuesday?
Ooh, I feel like the answer is no, but it'd be nice.
I mean, what is this guy? B? He's on the B. The he's only on Rampage. I can't catch this guy on Dynamite.
That's the hook. That's the hook. Pun intended. You got to. That's how you got to tune in.
That's true. We're gonna have to find out what's going on. And by the way, talking about tuning in, the NBA, or should I say the NFL, is always dropping news nuggets here live as we talked about them stepping into the platform on Fridays now, which would be the day after Thanksgiving, a notorious shopping day here. So most people do their shopping online now. Amazon joking about will it crash, will it not crash, but certainly that is big news. The other big news here, how about taking a look here in Pittsburgh, Kevin, with Mike Tomlin saying if Kenny Pickett is cleared to play, he will start next Sunday against the Dolphins. To that point, the rookie quarterback has already been cleared to participate in practice this week. How about a quick clear there?
Wow. How about that? How's that possible?
I don't know.
With the way things are going right now. Yeah. Pittsburgh, with Tomlin's, is Tomlin grandfathered into like old concussion protocol rules for his football team?
Yeah, back when Hines
follow updates.
Yeah, when Hines Ward would say, "Look, I know Ben has a concussion, but that's ridiculously soft. He's not playing in this game this Sunday coming up." Didn't really age all that well years later. But that was imagine that going around the locker room. Like, I mean, he's nice. You want to talk about being a selfish player? Like, Ben's not going to play because he has a concussion and a headache. What? Get out there! I can't believe it. Which he had to promptly apologize for after that. But that was the thought process behind concussions only 15 years ago.
Well, the thing about that is right, like. So it's the NFL, and I don't think it's wrong to say the part of the reason the concussions are cared about so much is because the spotlight's put on them, right? Like, that's not wrong, is it? Like, I think, obviously, that they care about the player's health, but they're also, obviously, they know they need to, otherwise things like what happened with Tua happens, right?
Yes.
And things go to a different level. I say that, like high school football?
Yeah.
My goodness, man. Like, it's not all that long ago I was playing high school football. Like, the looks that kids would get if their bell was rung.
Yes.
Oh, and also, by the way, kids in high school don't even understand what a concussion is.
No, they
don't. I mean, maybe now it's different, but even when I was again playing, like, people were like, oh, that's a good hit. Here we go. Next play.
Yes, nobody knew. Absolutely nothing about concussions. And I always joke about playing through high school and college. That's 8 years. One diagnosed concussion in 8 years. I think that was a... randomness where I was playing football games where nobody hit hard or nobody got concussions. Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Avoiding also, contact, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was doing out here. Wide receiver, come on now. Hey, man, what do you play DB like a wideout? Well, I am a wideout, so leave me alone out here. So But anyway, on that point, but now also, you get a concussion in high school, like you're out like a month. Like that's like the protocol now in high school, which was it has been in for a while. That's not it. Like, well, they just did that this year. Like you get a concussion in high school, that's no longer like, all right, we're just going to take you out of the game. Back in the day, they used to take your helmet for like a couple minutes to see if like you could, you know, I don't know, not come back. I've never seen one game like in college, like kid took a good shot where he was down, and obviously it was a clear concussion. I actually think he left in an ambulance that game, to be honest with you. It was a defensive back.
Wow.
But outside of that, like you would just get your helmet taken for like a couple series until you like could convince like the trainer, like, I'm good to go back in. There was mm-hmm. no concussion test. Other than, like, honestly, like, how many fingers? And they would hold, like, a little pen up in front of you and follow it. And if you did, all right, he's good to go back in the game.
Yeah, it's things, as you said, were a lot different. But we agree, all agree, change for the better. We cannot have things like what happened with Tua. We know that.
No, we certainly can't. Also, second bit of information here before we start transitioning here to some more live stuff going on today. This topic is coming up more and more right now, and I think some people are hijacking this topic. The NFL roughing the passer rule and how it's being called are two completely different things. You're going to see Troy Vincent making the rounds on all these networks over the past couple days. Used to play for cornerback for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's now like the guy in charge of like relations and, you know, injuries and the NFL. Hey, we need an explanation. Troy Vincent comes out in front. Very smart guy, very well spoken, easy to like when he talks about it. And I understand his point of view. We're always going to call this extra carefully because the reason why people love the NFL is not because of what you're seeing in a lot of these games. It's when the top quarterbacks are on, this game is so much fun to watch and cheer for, and we're going to protect our investment at all costs, which means the quarterback. But that's not what anybody cares about, because I think if you ask the common person watching a game, yeah, we don't want Lawrence Taylor, Ron Jaworski-type hits in the pocket where you run a 40-yard dash and spear the quarterback in the middle of the back or the helmet. That's no longer a good hit. Nobody really cheers for that. That's a penalty. Taking a quarterback down and busting him, like, cleaning his clock, nobody really wants to see that. But you know what we want to see? Come on now. That's not a foul. Send it upstairs for 30 seconds. Look at it quickly. Go back down like college football. There is, we're going to throw the flag, personal foul, targeting. Now we're going to review. And you know what they do? They take a look to see if that hit was serious. Should he be kicked out? Should it be a personal foul? Or did we miss it? What's wrong with that? Because we're not advocating. I don't think most people are advocating, Kevin. Let the quarterbacks get hit. We're not saying that. But come on now. There's some calls that are just ridiculous.
It's a little odd. Like, the idea is if you, because we don't want big injuries, right, there's a penalty in there that, you know, if you excessively hit the quarterback, right, you're going to be penalized, so there's incentive to not do so. But what we've now created are fouls that we leave the play going, hold on, that's not a penalty. My point is, roughing the passer used to be pretty obvious. You hit the guy way late, you hit him in the head, and that was it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we leave the play debating, was that roughing the passer?
Yes.
Then we've gone too far, because, again, if the idea, we're not going to leave a play where the quarterback was injured, going, wait, was that roughing the passer?
Correct.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's gone too far. It's probably, we know how like difficult it can be to officiate games. Well, we understand that when we can complain. Roughing the passer might be, or should have been, the easiest thing to call for any official in any sport. How we've got to, like, we did the is it a catch, is it not a catch, which is always crazy, but like,
yes.
Now we don't know if the quarterback has been rough. Come on.
Because it's been, and the reason why we're bringing this up is because of how poorly it was called on a few plays where, granted, this isn't where there's one ref. Let's just say you're playing peewee football. There's two refs trying to keep control of 22 kids, and I'm 40 yards away. Here's what I thought I saw. The job of the head referee, who stands in the backfield no shorter than 5 yards away from the quarterback, his job is to watch the quarterback. You can't miss that. It's like, you call a touchdown catch on the field. We're watching from TV quite a bit away. There are two refs. One takes the ball. One takes the feet. They both look at each other. What did you say? Both feet were in. Yep, catch was made. That's a touchdown. It's not that hard. It's really not.
I mean, it's also, no matter where you are on the field, it's the biggest swing. Now, because it's like, oh, did they call pass interference or not, right? Well, if they did, all right, spot foul. But if not, it's an incomplete pass. If roughing the passer is not called, it's at least a loss of five, change of down. If it is called, it's a fresh set of downs and 15 yards up the field.
Correct.
Like if the ball is on the 30, now you're at the 15. But if they don't call it, you might be knocked out of field goal range. Like, that's how much that play matters. It always matters.
And they're talking about, like, maybe one of the add-ins would be a challenge, which the NFL really got scared. And I don't know if it's because the lawsuits are just enacted. We have to have this in case something so ridiculously happens, we can overturn it. That was the pass interference call between the Rams and the Saints. The backlash was, we got robbed, which, yes, the Saints did get robbed at that point. But they thought so much about it, we're going to put this in. But they literally told NFL teams, don't challenge this thing. This is brought in for in case we get to an NFC or an AFC championship game and a ref fell down, closed his eyes, and completely missed the play, we can go back and make the adjustment. So repeatedly, week after week after week, people were challenging, talking to head coaches, the pass interference play, and it was never getting changed from the field. And they tried to make a point of it after like a week. Look, you can keep challenging this. We are never overturning it. And you have these, you know, idiot coaches week eight still challenging. I don't understand. Meanwhile, the NFL couldn't actually come out and say, this isn't actually reviewable. It's so we have an out clause just in case disaster happens, which you don't need. Can you imagine that throwing the flag on pass, roughing the passer? Yeah, he swung him a little bit hard. Like, no, we're just asking for the eye in the sky to buzz the ref in the ear over that 30 seconds ago. That was a missed call. Get on the mic right now. Say you had it checked out. The play goes back. No foul. And nobody will care. Everybody will be happy it just got right.
By the way, since we're doing refs, let me just make one more complaint, all right? Because this is something that's been bothering me since Bears-Packers Sunday Night Football. When we go to a review, and they go, if it's not conclusive, we're going to stick with the call on the field. Yeah. That is ridiculous. That we are going to go, that guy that's 25 yards away, whatever he said stands, unless it's obvious. No, what you need to do is take the 17 close-up views and tell me what you think happened. Because everybody watched that play and went, I'm almost positive he got in. But since the refs wouldn't bet their life on it, we stuck with the original call. What do we do? Why is everything so dumb?
Yeah, it's even worse in baseball. Like, Bryce Harper had a play where he tried to stretch a single and the double was clearly safe, caught out on the field. Like, yeah, he's out anyway. And everybody's like, I don't understand. We just watched him slide in safe. But there might have been a string of the glove that touched him. So we'll give it back to the umpire here. It is ridiculous. And we'll be right back here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fixing issues over here with the NFL. Friday football. There's no issues tonight. There's no issues on the NBA tonight, right? Two games, that's what you need on opening night. Usually I like to see, like, Major League Baseball. Give me the full slate out here. Let me get a feel. I feel like the NBA is different. The NBA is about the showcase. The NBA is about fun, opening night, celebrations, big rivalries. Because you could have thrown on, I don't know. I'm not taking shots at, like, Memphis or San Antonio. But it just feels like they got it right. Like, if you say, hey, I love basketball. What's the first game on tonight? Sixers, Celtics. Yeah, you know what? Common fan. Like, I can dig this here. Second game, what do we got on the nightcap? Oh, by the way, you're going to have Golden State and the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, that's nice. Same thing with the NFL, opening night. Like, they're not going to say, hey, Super Bowl champion, you're at home against the Texans. they're going to give you a 10-bell effort. Like, yeah, you know what? We're all watching this game because it's back in our lives. And I feel like that's the case tonight. So just to get some updated pricing here on the NBA at the FanDuel Sportsbook, two games, as we said, Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. First game here lines up at +3 for the Sixers, over under 216. Lakers-Warriors, Warriors -7, 225. Now, we've talked a lot about who are you going to take? +7, +3. But what about the totals? And the reason I bring it up is not that I just want you to answer, oh, I love the over in the Sixers game. I love the under in the Warriors game. What are we looking at pace-wise? Because we know to start the season, it's a little bit of a mix and match here where you could say, wow, 128-127 final in the Lakers game or 101-100.
I know that you all want to tune in. And we want to give you a pick if we can. We want to give you our best if we have it. And you know I love to fire on totals, especially in the NBA. Especially, I can't lie to you, on overs. But I'm going to try with every single fiber of my being to lay low for at least a couple of days, if not longer. I just feel like I can't forget what happened last season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was the basketball. I don't know if it was rust. I don't know if it was the officiating. I don't know if it was everything. But we went from a sport that was starting to make 230.5 normal. Yes. And then all of a sudden, 213.5 became the norm. And it was just like, what is going on here? I can't even adjust to this. It's so drastic. But then, as we were getting closer and closer to the regular season ending, didn't it feel like it was back, right? Maybe around the midway point. Wow, we're scoring again. Did they change the ball? Did they change the refs? What's happening here? I don't know, but there's points. I am not betting at the moment either of these totals tonight, Donnie. Wednesday's going to have a full slate. I'm not looking to bet either of those totals either. Props, you know it. Sides, if they're there. But I just don't have a good enough rhythm. Because, look, you know I can go back right now and tell you everything that happened in last year's Lakers-Warriors games over the last two seasons, what that points to, who I think's going to push the ball, where this team will have some value. But the total drop-off last year was so unbelievable. I just don't feel confident enough at the window.
I hear you on that. And it makes sense because you don't want to be left at the altar. Now, two things here I want to talk about quickly. Shane Bieber says the NBC Sports Edge Baseball Twitter account, Bieber is available to pitch in Game 5 of the ALDS. Now, I didn't read anything through that, what that means. Obviously, I haven't seen any starting, you know, things change here. But it looks like if he were to be needed tonight, he would be a go. Now, back to some gambling here in the NBA. If you notice on the FanDuel Sportsbook, I like this. The no sweat same game parlay. Sometimes it's $25, sometimes it's $50 during the NFL, just to try to draw you in. Now it looks like most of them are, you know, bet whatever amount you want, but if you lose, you get $25 back. This one's a max of $200, 5 to 200.
I just gotta say this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure you're getting different limits on these than me. Like,
I'm not logged in on this one though. You see what I mean? Like, I'm not logged. It doesn't have my IP address knowing it's me, right? Because this one reads different than so many of them. Because when I saw the no sweat same game parlay, it says all customers up top. And I read through them, like, I don't see the $25 or $50. You have to go to the fine print under description of promotion to say a maximum raising from $5 to $200.
But, hon, do me a favor then. Because this might be relevant to our listeners. Log in and then see if it specifies to you, the individual, the amount you get back.
All right, let me see.
Do you know what?
I know what you're saying there.
Yeah, like I'll just tell people.
You know what? Good point. You brought that up.
Kind of log in here because
free bets up to $50 for me now. It says, yeah, okay.
And that's what, number four.
What do you mean?
Like, where does that say that for you?
I just logged in and it's under promos. Right? Yeah, exactly. And I clicked on promos. Yeah.
And I get a refund in free bets up to $5. I don't understand that.
What have you been? Pennies over there?
Yeah, but this is what, like, I never, Donnie, I wonder if it's because I never do these. Never do the same game.
I do them all the time.
Bets.
I love them. Yeah, no, you're right. $5, I would never do it. But it's the same thing we brought up.
I understand.
Which I love. At the beginning of football season, FanDuel was like, hey, Donnie, $200. Pick your favorite team. Get $20 a week if they lose, maximum of two, which means I picked the Bills. They're going to get 10. So essentially, I got a $200 free bet on the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl, which is priced close to $400 as a cash out right now, is what I was looking at earlier today, which I love that. So I'm glad you said that, because I was just going to hit opt in and do it and bet the 200. And then if I got $50 back, I would have been furious, because I'm not doing it per se to, you might hit it, which would be awesome. Like, let's say take 5-1, $200. Like, awesome. That's $1,000 in my pocket. But if you lost, I'm betting more than $200 this weekend in NFL action. And I'm like, okay, no big deal. I didn't win that, but I got money back to bet this weekend. It's almost like a win-win proposition. It's max of fit, which I'm going to do it. I'll still bet the 50, but I'm actually glad I did that.
Of course.
So yours is $5 on that?
$5. Like, that's why people ask me, like, oh, you're doing your same game parlay today. Like, no. I'm not going to sit there and geese Cortland Sutton's, you know, 25th yard for $5.
Yeah, it's true. That is
because
true.
Also then you if you get a $5 free bet, right?
Yes.
You're not going to do 5 to win 10 at that point.
Exactly. You got to a straight bet, $5 to win 4. You know what I mean? Right. I took the over in these yardage. I made $4.
So you have to go absolutely off the rails. You're never going to win. Mm-mm. You have to do a parlay that's 100-1. I got to take four guys to score two touchdowns, and then we get these games on primetime that don't even have two touchdowns for each team.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point you bring up there. But this one is for me. I guess, you know, some of the I don't know how it goes. The highest rollers get the 2-1. I don't know how it's assigned, but this one was $50 for me.
Ready for this? Ready for this? Now here we go. Now here we go. How about this? Tweet reads, at DK Sportsbook. Last night sucked. We know.
Ooh.
So we are boosting Kevin Durant to have 20-plus points tomorrow night from minus 1,000 to plus 100 to make it up to you. And then get a load of this. With the 50% profit boost that we are offering for any NBA bet today or tomorrow, feel free to boost Kevin Durant under 28.5 at plus 130. So they're basically saying, here's KD to score 20. We all know he's going to do it. Our bad. And if you really think we're out to get you, use this profit boost, which you know the sportsbook don't usually like. Go under 28.5. You're locked in profit. And worst case, and maybe you'll even middle us. Our bad. We did not think you were going to lose that Herbert bet.
Man. Yeah, I'm logging in right now. It's kind of funny because I gave you that first boost that they had, but the arrow over was that KD boost there, which I didn't see, which is pretty tremendous. Like, that's the way you do business, right? Because, as I said, they think, we got a couple extra $1 million in here. We weren't supposed to win this. This was supposed to be built into our accounting department. We were going to give away a couple $1 million to fire it up. That's good stuff right there.
That is.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny. I wonder how many people out there had this reaction. 20 points. It is Kevin Durant. You have to remember who we're talking about here.
Yes.
Yes. Like, KD is genuinely minus 1,000 to score 20. Trust me, I would have loved for it to be 15. I would have loved for it to be 10. Mm-hmm. I'd have loved for them to just give me my $25 back just like you. The one thing I'm hoping, though, is that I haven't seen it, so you logged in. Is it max 25 or max 50?
I wanted to say it was. Oh, you know what? I didn't. Let's go here. Hold on. Let's go to NBA. Let me slide this over. Let me hit opt in and click on the bet itself. Let's see here.
Because if it's max 50, then they're really. That's really great.
Let me see. Opt in. I'm just going to hit opt in on this one, too. All right, so I'm opted in on both. Let me just get the fine details here on this. All right.
By the way, you don't have to bet his under 28.5. That's just them basically saying, like,
here's how you do it.
Yes, we understand.
$25. $25, yeah.
Fair enough. But how about this? They're also doing, Donnie, tonight, LeBron, Stephen, Embiid all for 20 to plus 100.
Yes. Now,
That is not free money.
No.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
That's not the K. That's not the KD one. That's not like that KD not, feels. KD feels like he's got 20 to break tonight. That's the way it feels. Or 20 to break when they play. Excuse me.
Yeah, I am going to bet that LeBron, Steph, and Embiid. Oh my! Yeah, are you going to bet that from -170 to +100? That should come in, right?
I think it should, but I do like the bigger money boost here. Like, I like, I'll tell you what's tough when I look at it. Like, LeBron and Steph to combine for 50 is -130. I just get a little bit nervous opening night where maybe they're not playing as much as they should. But having said that, it's opening night. This is when you're supposed to be feeling your oats, your healthiest and most excited, right? I want to show the world I'm back tonight. Boom, 5 threes from Steph. LeBron at the breaks got 18-6, right? Well, that's what it feels like.
Let me ask the famous question.
Yeah.
Who costs you? It's not
those two. Which one? The 2020 and 20?
Yeah, I'm talking about this DraftKings one, the 2020 and 20.
Does it feel like Steph gets like 19?
Yeah, right. It's like for no reason he's two for 12 from three in this game.
Uh-huh.
In a win. Because Jordan Poole scored 30. I think I am going to be betting Jordan Poole props tonight. Maybe it's too easy on the narrative. I got to slice into it more, but don't you just see Jordan Poole going wild tonight, getting paid, having himself a big game, post-punch and everything like that.
Draymond having seven assists to him. Yeah, maybe an assist prop on Draymond tonight. Making everybody feel good, right? Ooh, that's a good angle. That is a nice angle to try to play into there. But I do like some of those boosts, but that's a good one for KD. That KD game is what, tomorrow, I assume?
Yes, against the Pels.
You don't have to rush that one in. That's something you could certainly take care of tomorrow. But just on deck here coming up for that Yankees and the Guardians, no change in the price, -180. But we did bring up that news that, hey, Biebs is available to pitch today. We don't know in what capacity. Three batters, 20 pitches, 30 pitches, three innings. We don't know that or if they even need to use him at all, meaning they're up big or they're getting busted at that point. But we'll certainly find out. Great, great sports week here. Playoffs in full swing here. The big boys come out to play in Major League Baseball. The NBA reappearing. Obviously, hockey going on, college football, and NFL. It doesn't get much, much better than this. One quick segment to go. We'll give out some picks before we send you off into the afternoon for the rest of your Sports Grid programming. Come on back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go! Picks, picks, and more picks right now. Quick moving show here on Moneyline for a Tuesday afternoon. And I feel like we got to keep it in the NBA. But as I said, I'm still going to go with this. Philadelphia Phillies money line, first five innings, I think makes some sense at +108. I like that. I got about an hour. But yesterday, I did get a refund of two $50 bets from the FanDuel Sportsbook because I did go after Cabrera and Rizzo each to record an RBI. I haven't fired that in yet, but I have a feeling I'm going to be involved with those two players one way or another, and I'll probably tweet those out if need be. But the double-double market is the single greatest betting market in the history of the universe. If I'm looking at the Philadelphia 76ers game tonight, do I want to play a -260 on Joel Embiid going up against some Smurfs? Not necessarily, but I do think it makes some sense. But I got to tell you, just looking at James Harden's +106 figure in that, I can almost pencil in 10 assists, which means he's probably going to have 10 points. That makes some sense. Let's go with that. We're going to go Harden double-double tonight.
Wait, don't lock it in. It's +150 on DK. I know we don't line Harden all the time, but that's a huge gap. That is a huge gap.
All right, that's where we're going then.
That's a huge gap. I'll throw you guys a pair of NBA plays as DRS locks that in. We're on Al Horford over 10.5 rebounds plus assists. Hit it in 9 of 10 regular season games played in 2022 without Robert Williams. How about this? Hit it in 6 of 7 postseason games played without Robert Williams. That means 16-2 to the over last 18 games without Robert Williams. Tatum over 2.5 made threes. Don, he was averaging 11.7 attempts per game on a per 36 basis during the preseason. Tatum is going to fire away this year. Efficiency ticks up as well. I like him for three threes in the home opener.
Double-double's fun. JP, let the people know where you're going tonight on NBA opening night.
Let's open it up with the parlay. We're going to take the Lakers to cover and 80 to go over 23.5.
There it is. Lakers. There it is. Where's the triple-double market out here? How about a nice, oh, only 10-1 for Harden? That's it? Tatum 25-1. JoJo 70-1 to come out here with 25, 13, and 10. And those 10 will be 10 blocks because he's playing Smurfs tonight. It's all upon us here tonight. Thank you for tuning into the show. For JP, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, this is Moneyline, and we'll be back tomorrow on a Wednesday. Good luck tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.